This episode of the TZR Podcast is brought to you by audibletrial.com/TZR. Hey, Liz.
Yeah?
Do you like to read books?
Yeah.
Me too. Do you remember getting read to as a child?
Nope.
Me neither. But you know what would be great? If you can get that experience on your phone at any time, at any place that you want, with audibletrial.com/TZR. It's great. You can get 15 days, for free trial, of 150,000 different books from any genre, right on your phone, or tablet, or desktop computer, or anything that you ever wanted. Isn't that great, Liz?
That's pretty great.
I know, right? So again, if you guys wanted to support this podcast, make sure to subscribe to a free 15-day trial at audibletrial.com/TZR.
Welcome, everyone, to the TZR Podcast, episode 84. I'm your host, Justin Skirbo, and today I'm joined by Liz Lysui.
Hi. I'm still trying to get over the fact that I was late. I'm sorry.
No, it's good.
We weren't going to mention that, but now you mentioned it, so it's out there.
I feel so bad.
You're hitting the ground running. I'm also joined by Justin Chow.
Hey.
I'm also joined by Alex Schock.
We've been here for hours, Liz.
And we have a special guest with us today. Liz Finnegan of The Escapist is here.
Woo. Hello.
It's a pleasure to have you, Liz. Thank you so much for making the time to come hang out with us on this week's episode.
But she's more than just an editor, right? She's also a streamer, a Twitter influencer, a star.
Is a Twitter influencer a thing?
That's not a thing.
Are you sure?
She was Times Person of the Year last
Certainly
year?
Certainly.
She was on Times Magazine.
She's one of people's sexiest women alive.
Yes. Oh, how do I segue out of this?
All right. Video games.
So, guys, it is the week after E3, and my God, did we all play a lot of games and drink a lot of alcohol?
There was a lot of drinking involved, but it was good. We even ended it. We capped it with a sweet anime episode of going to the beach and fireworks.
Yeah,
it was weird. I will tell you.
Yeah, that was a pretty uncanny story. But there was a lot of stuff happening last week. A lot of great games were announced, a lot of great games we got to play, so I kind of just want to go through sort of everybody's experience and what kind of stuck out the most to everybody, and I'd like to start with our guest. Liz Finnegan, what was your favorite game that you saw at E3? One of the most significant things.
You're going to start with me?
Right.
Boom. Yeah.
I'm interested to know. I don't think I actually asked.
I have to say, honestly, even though I didn't get to actually touch it, it was Monster Hunter World.
Oh my God.
Right?
Yes.
I am so freaking excited about that game.
Liz and I got to sit in on it, but you know who was playing it? The freaking director, Takamakamuki-san.
Yep.
I forgot.
Shut up, him? No way.
Yeah, right?
Great guy.
I love that guy.
Yeah, we took a picture with him, even though we really just wanted to make friends with the person who was speaking. But then, yeah, it was good. It's good time.
He was a cool guy. The speaker was a cool guy.
He was a cool guy.
Whoever he was.
Yeah. But I totally agree with you on that one. I mean, that was, after having a couple days to reflect on it, I really think Monster Hunter World was like the biggest surprise at the conference, because nobody saw that
absolutely
coming.
So like Alex and I were talking about this quite literally days before this happened, where we saw the whole Monster Hunter Double X or whatever coming out in Japan on the Switch, and we were like, this is going to be fucking great. We could take Monster Hunter on the...
Yeah, because you're right. We were just talking about this, and Monster Hunter, it's always been awesome, but every time it just feels, and I'm actually writing something about this, but they all feel the same.
Yeah.
They've always been awesome, but they're always like,
they add some weapons.
PS2 graphics, you got your old gameplay and crafting.
Instead of like little like tribal men, you have now cats.
Yeah. So we were just talking about how it's still going to be fun and we're still going to play it, but it'd be really great to have a Monster Hunter.
We're like, please grow up, Nintendo. The GameCube graphics, that was like at least last year.
Because
you got to like move it along a little bit.
And we were looking at Dauntless, you know, to fill that gap, but then you see Monster Hunter World, and it's
I actually
feel bad for Dauntless.
Me too!
It's crazy.
I think we all kind of thought
it's going to get forgotten.
That timing, it's like a Battleborn Overwatch situation.
Oh my god, I know.
Right?
I was looking at, that's exactly what it is, actually. I was looking at Dauntless gameplay today, actually, just to be like, what was it about Dauntless that, like, had me going? Literally, it was just like, it looked like an upgraded version of Monster Hunter, but now that you actually got
it, it was filling that hole in our hearts, and now that hole is filled by what we
I don't know if we need the replacement.
So Liz, are you like an old school Monster Hunter player? Like, have you been playing them since way back when, or did you just see this one and you're like, holy shit, I gotta play this game?
don't know. I'm relatively new to it. Like I've dabbled, but I haven't gotten like obsessively into it.
Yeah, that's
because I don't have the fucking time.
I feel you. You know, see, that was kind of the same ballpark that that I've been in. Like the only other one that I played was Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate on Wii U, and I like flirted with the game. I did not spend any like real time with it.
I just flirted with it.
And really, the only reason
on the weekends, sometimes late at night.
No, but really, the
text message.
We Netflix, but we never actually chilled.
The only reason why I really like wanted to play it is because I had a lot of people say that it's a similar experience to something like a Phantasy Star Online. So I was like, all right, sure, like, you know, let's get into this. But I never had it grab me because the learning curve is so fucking steep.
It's a
with
couple
those games.
Things. It's the learning That's curve. True. It's just an old school game, so you get kind of this old school grinding mechanic where you just got to go out there and kill shit for hours to collect enough materials to build your honey farm and like make armor.
Who's got time for that?
I mean,
really?
Yeah.
We had time for it.
I enjoyed the like exploration aspect, even though it was like kind of
segmented.
It was like weird. But like now,
and so did all of Japan.
Can we just talk? Okay, so like, who here? Sorry, go on.
No, yeah, this is definitely the type of game that, like, for the first time, I can see myself getting really addicted to a Monster Hunter.
Yeah,
and the beautiful
which
thing
is kind of what I wanted out of it.
Yes. Yeah, and it's on like a platform that like everyone that we know that plays games will be on. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, it's actually going to be accessible to people rather than being like, oh, when are we going to do our Wii U meetup or whatever? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, come on.
I mean, so, like, when we were actually like, okay. So, if for anybody who's, one, listening, and also people who didn't go to E3, Alex, we can talk a little bit about the actual demo, right? And for what we saw, it was not just like a hub. I wouldn't call it, like, the original one a hub world, but you were going in and out of maps, and there were, like, loading times in between. Now it's all just seamless, and on top of that, the entire world is destructible, which is something that they've been, like, pushing forth a lot lately. Also,
is it the entire world, or is it just certain elements?
Because certain elements, like, I mean, trees.
Certain
and, like,
elements.
I would say in the trailer, it looked like you could kind of tell what was breakable or what have you.
Yeah.
But
they were, like...
It's a thing.
Yeah. When they said, like, living, breathing world, like, there are quite literally, and they made this, like, it was definitely, like, shown... during the presentation, but they showed like one of the like the lesser monsters, big in its own right, like come in and out of nowhere swoop up this like dino and just eat it whole, just like swallow it whole, becomes this giant bloated mess, and then it just sees you and like disregards you, and it just kind of goes along its way. You follow it to its nest where it then regurgitates all the food that it just ate, and these little baby ones come in and eat it, and you're just like, this shit would be happening if I wasn't even here. This is crazy. The entire world is just open, right? The other
thing exactly. And like, I really like that hierarchy of the monster chain, where you're not just like going against monsters. You're actually trying to lure them to other ones that are higher on the food chain than them.
And that's a totally new.
Yeah. And the other one, it was just like there was like it was like forecasting, right? In the other games, it was like, oh, you're hunting a Rathalos. There might be a Lucario. I don't know. That's a Pokemon.
Sure.
Yeah. There might be this other monster show up out of nowhere. Like,
there will not be a Lucario.
Right. Exactly. But now it's like everything's living in its own places. Like, do you remember, Liz, what was the, do you remember the fight that was happening when, like, they went into, like, the final, like, the nest?
Yeah.
And there was, like, quite literally, like, a hierarchy, like, established in those few seconds where...
Yeah, they had three different monsters that were coming in, and it was, like, there was a definite understanding of what the food chain was and who was overpowering who. It was really cool.
It's almost like a tactical, like, strategy to say, hey, we're going to, you know, I'm going to try to lure this guy through a cave and up a mountain so I can get him to this other location instead of just whittling him away for, like, hours just trying to hit him with my sword. I'm going to, like, feed it to this other creature, you know?
Yeah.
Right. I can't emphasize enough how much of a change this is because there are, I mean, how many Monster Hunter games are there? A lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's four out there, but
probably
they all
like
have, like, half
dozen.
Measures.
Yeah.
There's, like, three ultimate.
And
like,
you're always fighting a Jaggy or a great Jaggy.
Yeah.
And it's always the same monsters over and over again. So this is just such a radical change, especially with the movement, the grappling hook.
Yeah. Oh man.
And just
because one of the staples,
a brand new game.
It's, well, one of the staples of like the old Monster Hunter games was like it was a very high learning curve because you would go in and you're like, okay, so there's like not really a targeting system. You like click a button, you hit a button on your like DS screen to like look at the monster and you have to constantly hit it in a certain way. And then when you're attacking, it's like this huge wind up. It's slow, very precise movements, but it's like you got to make sure that you hit it, otherwise it's like complete waste of time and you're very vulnerable. You know
you bring up a good point that I think is going to make this game way more appealing is that it's actually on a functional controller.
Oh my God.
Like, yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Wait, hold on, so like Liz Finnegan, Red Liz, you like playing on a mouse and keyboard, and it will be actually available on PC. So I'm assuming.
Yeah, it will.
Yeah, it will.
I have a strong feeling that that's going to be the biggest community, because like I'm sure there's going to be crazy mods, people putting all kinds of different.
But Sony did mention that there's going to be exclusive content for those who buy it on PlayStation. So now I'm not sure.
Because of course there will.
But
be.
But is it exclusive or is it timed exclusive? That was.
They
the
said it was exclusive. I don't know.
Man,
if that.
Man, I hate that stuff.
I knew you.
Yeah, I do.
Like,
I hate
when
it.
The second they mentioned it for Destiny, I was like, Alex is gonna hate it.
Yeah, we already agreed that we're getting Destiny on PS4 only because there's exclusive content, and the exclusive content is
it forces
substantial.
My hand. Give me my choice.
Mm-hmm. I know. I'm sorry.
Damn it.
I knew you were gonna be upset about that.
I'm gonna play it. It's not that big a deal because I have the PS4, but
it's the principle of the
yeah.
thing.
Yeah. If we wanted to build that community, maybe with our Discord people on Monster Hunter, now it's pushing us towards the PS4 and. Maybe they're just gonna give us hats or something, but if it's real content like Destiny had,
I mean, I like
Last
hats.
Destiny,
that's real content.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I
mean, what's real content,
really?
Alex?
Yeah,
a PS4 T-shirt.
Yeah,
yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
So
that game came out of the Capcom booth, which Capcom had another exciting game that they brought to the show floor that I've had a very serious change of heart with recently, and that's Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite.
Yes.
Which, like,
oh my God, ever since I got hands on with it, kind of.
See, it's like I feel like, at least amongst this group, I feel like I'm, you know, the biggest Marvel vs. Capcom fan. Like, I was heavily into Marvel vs. Capcom 3. Like, I was super, super into it. So, like, when I see Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite, my thought is like, well, yeah, this is, like, the next in the series. I want to totally get into this, you know, whatever.
But then you saw Chun-Li's face.
But then it's like, you know, the gameplay is much more in tune with Marvel vs. Capcom 2, which isn't a bad thing. But then it's like, you mix that slight change with this really, frankly, horrendous new art style that they decided to go with.
It's not great.
And it's like, how can I be, like, excited about playing as a character who looks like their face got hit by a truck?
definitely. And, like, the worst part is, like, I played the story demo, I played the verses, so I got hands-on with a little bit. And the story demo, I mean, it's pretty much what you expect from most fighting game story, it's goofy and it's cheesy. Obviously, the character design is fucking terrible.
Yeah. I actually
the worst part about that is, like, especially between playing that and playing in Versus, like, everything else looks so good that it makes the character design feel even worse.
Yeah. It's just strange. Like, I feel like... So I played the story demo as well, and I think in that instance in particular, it was like... How can I describe it? It's like, because it's like zooming in on the characters' faces and stuff, it just makes it feel so much more like ugly, you know?
Right.
But then, like, when you actually go into play it, you're like, okay, maybe they could get away with this in battle because everything's moving really fast and there's explosions and stuff. But, like, it just wasn't grabbing me in the way that I wanted it to, especially after playing a game like Dragon Ball FighterZ, you know what I'm saying?
Right,
like,
right.
I'm a little bit. You were very positive about it on the show floor when I asked you about it on, like, Wednesday.
This change of heart happened after playing the story demo when we came back.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I was just
that,
like,
that was definitely. I enjoyed the verses, and what had happened with that is I had hopped in on somebody else's game who walked away early, so I was just like, I'm just gonna hop in real quick, and they were like, yeah, sure, you have that bright badge there, so sure, you can do that. And everyone was mad at me, and it was really exciting, and I really enjoyed myself. You know, I really like the rapid switch for the assist. You know, you start the combat with one person, you call someone in to finish it out. Like, that felt really fluid.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something nice that I will say about the game. But it really does. It takes you out of it with that awful design. It's what, like, the Andromeda design is what I'm calling it.
Yeah,
it's
no,
just,
exactly.
Like, everything else.
Sorry.
What was the story mode?
Yeah, wait. Did you guys actually get to experience the story? Liz, I remember watching you play the story, and very much so with, like, a unimpressed expression on your face. Like, what was your thoughts on the story?
It, like I said, it was very cheesy, you know, and it's one of those things where you see that with a lot of fighting games, but then you have, you know, NetherRealm, and you start looking, you know, with Injustice and Last Mortal Kombat, where the story modes were so good.
Oh, yeah.
Where that's something that you really don't expect out of fighting games. So now I have this unrealistic expectation that any fighting game I pick up has to now have an equivalently
I wouldn't call that
unrealistic. They absolutely raised the bar with that. And I think what Capcom's trying to do with the story demo, and I mean, just like, the story demo is out on PS4 right now, like, anybody can download it and play it right now, but it's just so boilerplate and just like lame. Like there's really not much going on there. And I think the reason why they're trying to champion that now is because they know how badly they fucked up with Street Fighter V and how they didn't appeal to the casual market at all. So I think they're double downing on the casual market this time, but they're going about double it downing. In such the wrong way. It's like, yeah, it's like, absolutely. It's just not good enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Also, Chun-Li's face is pretty ugly.
Yeah,
no, yes. Capcom's making this game, and then Capcom also made like Street Fighter V. Like, why did they just borrow the? I'll
tell you what. If Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite was the only fighting game at E3, it would still be like regarded
the worst
well.
Game at E3.
But it doesn't stand a chance in this new market, man. Because like
competition's fierce.
Competition's fierce. Not only did we get stuff like, you know, Final Fantasy Dissidia, which is cool, albeit a little chaotic, but really the standout is Dragon Ball FighterZ, which I just realized, and I realized this on the drive over. Maybe it's not FighterZ. Maybe it's Dragon Ball Z FighterZ.
You know what's really funny?
Yeah, because I think it is.
Never occurred to me.
As we're trying to like look up some of the like research and like other people's articles and just read up more about this, it's funny because you see it spelt and written out in so many, like, where's the spaces? The Dragon Space Ball. Sometimes it's just Dragon Ball, and then you look at the fighters. Is it Fighter Space Z or is it Fighters?
The Z is connected, I think.
I don't know, man. It's too big.
But like, it's also capitalized and slightly over because
is the Z? Yeah, like, for both, is it Dragon Balls Z or no? Is it Dragon Ball Z Fighters?
Dragon Ball Fighters.
It's Dragon Ball
Do they
Fighters
share
Z.
the Z?
There's only one Z.
Regardless of what the name is, the game is dope. It is
so freaking good,
man.
So
it's
crisp.
It's exactly what people coming from Ultimate Marvel 3 were looking for, and then it also completely nails that like anime fighter kind of.
The better you get. It was funny. We were watching the demo with the actual the presenter from Bandai Namco, and as we're sitting down, we're playing it. Or no, we're not playing it. He's like showing us like what it's all about, like going through slides, and then we should show some video. And he's just like, after every single video, he's just like, oh my god, so good.
we were talking about this earlier, I think at least Justin and I have played all of the Dragon Ball games, you know, from Budokai and then Tenkaichi and Xenoverse. I don't know, you played, but they're all good in their own way, but they never really felt like Dragon Ball Z the show.
Like, where the fighting is ferocious and
chaotic and
visceral
and loud.
Yeah. Viscerally.
I think why that is because. First of all, it's just brilliant that they went with Dragon Ball Z as, like, a backdrop for this fighting game, because it's, like, who's not a Dragon Ball Z fan, you know what I mean? But also, it's, like, I think it's because Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z are, like, comedies, right? Ultimately. Like, if you're watching the anime, they're comedies.
I mean,
but
Dragon Ball Z is a comedy?
I would say that it has comedic elements to it.
Dragon Ball is a comedy.
Yeah, Dragon Ball is...
The way that we all remember Dragon Ball Z is like these crazy, badass, ridiculously epic fights and stuff.
Keep your eye on the birdie.
And I don't think any game really sort of
cringy.
Like dived into that head first. They were all just like, let's just put these characters in something. At least that's what the Tenkaichi games were and stuff.
Even this one, it's like playing the anime.
Yeah. Yes. They I feel like they were like, we know why people like Dragon Ball Z, and it's because it's this crazy, over-the-top, explosive fucking lasers.
Right. You're standing still, and then all of a sudden you're just running and blasting at your opponent, just going crazy. Right.
Yeah.
Right, just bouncing around, teleporting.
The best part of it, is that I think it would still be a wonderful game if it, like, you removed all of the Dragon Ball elements out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
The fact that that's in there, like, that just makes it so much better because people, like, who are familiar with that understand it, but I think it's also welcoming to people who, like, the five people out there who aren't familiar with it.
Totally. I think...
I would have just been like, have some other fighting something wrong.
I think the one thing that, like, makes it so good, like, for those of us that played it, sorry, Alex.
Damn it.
Like, you really...
This week's podcast.
You really can, like... I think one of the most important things in fighting games is to, like, have every attack feel, like, tangible. You know what I mean? Yep. Like, when you knock someone down, you want to feel the impact of that happening. And this game crushed it.
And
it was very satisfying. It was, like, a perfect combination of, like, the visuals, like, shaking and people, like, you know, the crazy, like, aura sparks off of people. But then, like, the sound, like, accompanied it perfectly. Like, it just feels so right.
They rarely have that punch in the Dragon Ball games where you actually see it come out of the guy's back. Yeah, when you put Piccolo, it's like a fist size.
Yeah, like, he's got like a Piccolo glove on.
Yes, exactly.
Gross.
No, I want that. I want that Piccolo glove.
Yeah, I think
that'd
be
a hilarious mitten.
That was definitely like one of my game of shows. Like, it's kind of hard to think of another game that could.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe you guys don't even know, but what's the story What is there? Is there a reason? Is there a
nope?
Oh, it's not just
important. Yeah, not important.
It's I think literally just it's a tournament. I mean, if there's a campaign mode, which I think they did mention that there's going to be a single player like fighter mode, whatever. But when you do it, you're just going to be fighting through like the game.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's because
they always try to twist it in some way, or maybe you're just playing. Through
I mean,
the story
they even have Golden Frieza, which means that they're going all the way up to like Super, which is going to be cool. You know.
I think with the popularity of Super, it was a really good move. People really like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of. Not that it ever went away, but now is a good time to have a game like this.
One of our so Jeff, who's listening in, also just threw out a question asking what other maps that they have. So for the demo that they had, they only had the arena from Dragon Ball, and then they had Namek.
Namek, I'm sorry.
Was it Destructible?
Jeff asked us a question live on this podcast. If you want to join us live for future podcasts, you can reach us at discord.gg/TZR every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Sorry,
and
go ahead.
It is destructible, so when you do a special beam cannon kind of situation at the end of somebody's life, it could possibly destroy the entire environment, and then you're just fighting in, like, lava.
I reviewed the past two ones.
Yeah.
Xenoverse. And they did not have destructible environments. Sometimes a tree would get hit, and it would just disappear.
I remember you complaining about this.
Yes, but how can you have a Dragon Ball Z game without stuff being destroyed?
I'm going to destroy the whole planet, and then you have to use the Dragon Ball.
Everyone dies, but don't worry.
Right. Yeah. You get punched through a couple mountains, it zooms out into space, and there's, like, an energy, bubble going on.
Yeah.
I want that.
They do that in this one, and it is quite literally exactly like you think it would be.
Yeah. That's awesome. It's pretty crazy. Liz. Our Liz.
Blue Liz.
Blue Liz.
Yeah. Liz Lysui. What would you say was one of your games of show? Because you got to play a lot of stuff that none of us did, like Crackdown and...
Oh, Crackdown.
And Super Lucky Tale.
Super Lucky Tale. Surprisingly, my favorite game, I'm sure, was Crackdown 3.
Really? Yeah. That's so reassuring.
Did they fix it?
Here's the thing. I did not play any of the other Crackdown games. Ooh. And I only played it because Jason was like, Liz, we have to play this game. I love Crackdown. And we're going to play it, and you're going to play it with me. I was like, okay, sure. I don't own an Xbox, but let's go play this game. And we left, and I was like, crap. Guys, I think I have to buy an Xbox now. Yeah.
The whole thing with that, and what kind of worried me, first of all, they didn't spend a lot of time on it at the Xbox show. Mm-hmm. And
Terry Crews was there. Honestly,
Terry Crews is in it.
That song that they played in the trailer, I've listened to it like 100 times since
then. That's too funny.
When they talk about like ambition.
Are you a beast?
You're strong. You could do it, man.
So did you see the original Crackdown intro like a couple years ago when they announced it?
Mm-mm.
So the whole thing was their destructible
blow
buildings.
Blow up the world, yeah.
Yeah.
There were a bunch of people fighting each other in this physics-based city. Mm-hmm. So they were shooting rockets, and the entire building would actually fall over, knock over other buildings with players inside, and it would completely change the arena, and that wasn't shown at all. And what I'm hearing is that it's just multiplayer, which is sad. But did you experience anything like that in your playthrough?
No.
So what stood out about the game to you? Like, what made it, like... like making you think that you gotta buy an Xbox now.
I don't know. It was just fun. It was just
great description.
Yeah, I know. it's hard to say because like I don't know particularly what makes this game different from the previous incarnations.
Red Liz, have you played Crackdown?
Yes. I didn't play the new one. So.
What did you like about? Because it's a pretty simple game, really, right? Like, what did you like about the first one?
I didn't really like anything.
You didn't like it? All right.
No, it didn't
just
do
it. You guys punching each other in the face with sweet cars.
Come on, let's go. No, it didn't really grab me.
The first one, I mean, it only got attention because it was attached to the Halo 2 multiplayer beta. And it was just It was just sort of a wacky, simple game. And there wasn't a whole lot to it. When you level up your character... and cars actually transform with you, which is a really cool element.
Yeah, I mean, that's all still in there. And it was basically just, like, run around the city and destroy as much as you can and level up as much as you can. And they ranked you on how you leveled and said, like, compared to other people.
It
seemed like it was very similar to old games. Apparently, Jason said it was, like, a little faster and it felt cleaner to play. But other than that, I don't really know what else has improved. They did not talk about a campaign. I haven't heard anything about it.
It's all campaign. There is no... sort of...
I mean, there's a sort of campaign. It's like missions and quests, and like you're taking down like crooks and gangs. And
there was
and
a second one, but no one talks about it because it was awful.
Yeah. But this one seemed, I don't know, much more heavily about multiplayer.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
I'm looking forward to it. I just it was weird that they didn't talk about it, and it's one of their feature exclusive games.
Frankly, I think they didn't talk about it because they've been talking about it like a lot over the last couple of years, and I think if they appeared to be like leaning on that game again in another press conference, but people would be like, "Fucking really?"
We honestly
like,
haven't heard that much about it, though.
I don't know. Like, I feel like people
this is, like, the
have
first
known
time we heard something about it in like
it's been
2 years.
Like the only upcoming Xbox exclusive for like 3 years.
But does
now.
This come out in a couple months even? So it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they're kind of gonna just like let it be what it is, because the people that know about it already know about it. And it's like, they don't need to sell it anymore because the people that, like...
I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's just me. I don't know.
I mean, all right. That aside, right? Okay, so that game, it sounds cool. It looks cool. I mean, I love Crackdown 1. That was great. But, like, out of all the other Xbox, like, exclusives and world premieres and exclusive world premieres, 4K, like, out of all that stuff during that...
It's a great voice.
It was a great voice.
That was a good voice.
World
premieres. That was the best part.
Out of all those world premieres and exclusives, did you guys remember any of the, like... show of like here's 53 and then they just kind of bum rushed besides Anthem, which I kind of do want to talk about for a second.
I do want to
but
talk
like
about that.
Before that there's a bunch of other stuff. There's one that I remember kind of stuck out to me, and then I followed
indie
Red
games
Liz.
Or just in general.
I think there were like a myriad of indie, like I know Ori 2 is coming out, that looks fucking sick.
They
literally
talking about the one that you remember, like the one with the guy with the glasses.
Oh Jesus.
Oh that was cool.
Like
that's an
like weird paper animation.
The music one.
No.
Oh, you're talking
room,
The Artful Escape. The Artful Escape. Yeah, no. I actually like stuck around and watched that a little bit. It's like a platformer with like some music-based elements. It looks cool.
Liz, which one were you thinking?
The one I followed Liz into was Ashen, and that's one that I want Liz, if you could, a second to talk about, because it looked like a like, cooperative Dark Souls-y
like,
kind of thing.
Like
yeah, a little bit. But honestly, like I remember having a whole lot of fun playing it, and then the second I walked out, I totally forgot about it. Very forgettable.
No.
As
wow.
No, I, like I mean that in the nicest way possible. But it like they showed a very limited area that did not particularly grab me.
Gotcha.
Is what it was. I mean, it wasn't very exciting.
Oh, that's sad.
I mean, I watched Liz play. I didn't.
I mean, from
it
what
did not convince me to buy that.
Yeah, it looked like it did look kind of a little lackluster in comparison to a lot of other things that we did play. Like, for instance, I know a few of us in the room right now played, and I might just drop this bomb, even though I know we might be waiting for the end. I'm going to drop it anyway. Some people here played Mario Odyssey and really liked it, or rather...
Wait, what is this game? I've never heard of it.
What?
So there's this plumber.
Oh, my God.
No, so Mario Odyssey was something special. That game
do we
want to
jump
really,
into that
really
right now,
great.
Or should we wait?
Maybe, if you think that.
I mean, okay.
That's an opinion.
For me, it's like, now I'll resign myself to the fact that I'm a Nintendo fanboy. I
thank
love...
you, because I said this last week, and you were like, Liz, what are you
no,
talking about?
No, it's fine. I'll totally own that. But truly...
You don't have our guilty pleasures, man?
Truly, it's changing up what Mario is or was or has been for the last, like, 5 years. You know what I mean? Like... I don't think we've seen a truly dramatic change in the Mario formula since Galaxy. And even Galaxy's change was, like, cool, but it was ultimately, like, a gimmick. But it didn't make them any less solid games. But
we'll
in
call
this,
that, like, a masterpiece of its time.
But in this, it's, like, it changes the way that you platform in a way that's, like, really actually creative. And it forces you to interact with the world in such different ways now that you can, like... you know, like cap possess enemies and stuff. It's just crazy.
It looks really invasive and like kind of eerie in a way. Like
I think it's
kind
of cool because
he takes over a
so
man in the in New Dong City.
Okay,
that's
sort
of weird.
That's definitely
type thing.
That's definitely something strange going on. But I think taking over enemies and stuff is such a cool like change in direction that they've or you know. Since we've seen Mario, only because like the enemies in Mario, Goombas, Koopas, Bullet Bills, they are all just as much main characters
that's
in the Mario like you know world as Luigi and Peach. You know what I mean? So putting them to the forefront and actually using their unique abilities in ways to like interact with the world and you know find these weird moon shards or whatever is just cool. Like I don't know, I really had a good time with it. Like it made a very serious impression on me.
It sparked a debate. And in our chat over is Mario the person or is Mario the hat? Maybe Mario's just a hat.
That's existential stuff going on.
Where does identity begin?
That's been possessing this poor man.
That's pretty intense.
No, no, no. But I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure that The top hat is the possessor, which then possesses Mario's hat, and then Mario wears the hat, throws the hat, and becomes the fucking shit.
Yeah.
He gets like.
So is he possessed?
No, his hat's possessed.
But then he wears the hat.
I see where he's getting that now.
Possessor, wouldn't
possessed
it
hat that doesn't make me possessed.
He throws it on other people to possess them.
Guys, this is why it's in Odyssey.
Oh, snap. That's crazy. So, I didn't even think of that.
So, Liz, why didn't you like it? Like, because I know it didn't make as much of an impression on you as it did for me, so.
Me?
We got to differentiate.
Blue Liz.
I used to say Red Liz more, yeah.
Lysiri.
Picking it up, it felt very slow. Like, I thought you were going to move a little faster. It felt really much slower than it looked, which was slightly disappointing to see, to feel. And,
like, sluggish?
Yeah, like, you looked like you were running so fast.
Were you doing
fast,
the crouch jumps, though?
You were, like, moving so slowly in the level. Like, it kind of took forever to get anywhere, and, like, it was a little delayed when you would go to turn or move.
Yeah,
some of the movement is a little floaty. It's definitely
floaty's a good word.
It's closer to Mario Galaxy movement than Mario 64, if that makes sense.
Mario 64 is pretty crisp.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, here they're kind of like saying that it's going to be like in the realm of like a Mario 64 / Mario Sunshine, like maybe even better than on that side of like Mario game.
That's pretty bold.
I would say I think it lives in that ballpark.
Reggie Fils-Aimé was like, it's fun.
Listen, I think it lives in that ballpark because, like, so in the demo, you could choose either this sand castle place or a city, New Donk City. And while you're there, it's
New Donk City.
What's that?
Liz, did you play? What did you pick?
I did not play it. I have very serious concerns just from what I have seen. I get a very Sonic 2006 vibe from it.
Oh, no.
Just the people. That's just the people in the world.
No, it very much so is, but it's one of the – every time I see it, I'm like, oh, I've been there.
I've played this game.
Yeah. There's actually –
that has definitely jaded me towards it, I think.
If our Sonic
2006.
So if our listeners want to go on an adventure, there's a really great YouTube video that takes the Sonic or the Super Mario Odyssey trailer and makes all the sound effects from Sonic Adventure 1.
Oh my god!
And it is so perfect. It's so perfect.
Oh, we gotta watch
that. You have to send that to me.
I absolutely will.
So I was also slightly unimpressed with New Donk City. Like, they said, like, either do you want to focus on combat or do you want to focus on like exploration and platforming? And so there was the
platforming.
Sand. There was the sand level,
which
was combat, and also I already played that level. I already played that level in Mario 64. Like, I didn't need to play it again. It kind of just seemed like more of the same.
Yeah.
So I wanted to like try something new, but there wasn't really a lot to do in the demo. It was find three musicians for the mayor's
party or whatever.
Party
yeah.
Thing.
But there was a lot of shards around the world. Like what that demo kind of illustrated to me is imagine Delfino Plaza from Super Mario Sunshine, but like a shitload of stars in it, just like all over the place. You know what I mean? That's what it felt like to me running around there.
Yeah, but it felt like Delfino Plaza, I felt like there was more to do. Like, New Donk City kind of felt empty. Like, I don't know if it was
we had a 10-minute demo to really know what was going on there.
So that's... Take it with a grain of salt. Like, maybe it was a very short demo, and maybe that wasn't the final finished New Donk City or whatever. It was a very small area, but that level in particular seemed somewhat barren, and it also seemed more barren than the sandcastle level. Seemed like it had a lot more going on. Like, the sandcastle level, you could actually possess like bullet bills and stuff, and you had, you know, more to do and like farther to traverse as opposed to New Donk City, which you could possess. Like cones.
Yeah. I didn't play the game, right? But I mean, I stood behind a few people and I watched them. I wasn't bad to stand on the line. But like, I watched that. I watched the trailer. And like, their key here for making the platformer a new modern day platformer was by introducing a bunch of a bunch of new mechanics through the acts of possessing animals, right? Or like bad guys, right? It's the same thing like Kirby, right? Kirby in that sense like sucks in enemies and then creates new mechanics based on the fact of like combinations between characters.
That's actually a really good comparison.
So I mean, you take away the hat and it's literally just Mario 64 / Galaxy.
I don't know what they were. They were like some sort of weird stick things, and it would, like, you could use them to sort of launch yourself into the air.
Yeah, like little flagpoles and
stuff.
Yeah,
and then there was also, you could, like wires, like electric wires that you could,
so you can,
little,
like be
electric
the spark.
Bulb, and you could be the spark and travel.
But what I'm
that
saying
way.
Is, like,
that was all cool, but it was, that was, like, those are kind of the only two things in that demo that they had.
Yeah. Was the possession, like, worth... Like, does it feel like a new game with the possession, like, mechanic, you know?
For me, it drastically changed platforming. I did, like, a big write-up on this and described, like, this one example that I had where it was, like, the person doing the demo for me, like, the PR person or whatever, was like, oh, just climb this building. So I was like, okay. So I'm trying to figure out how to climb the building, and I'm not really finding the best way. But then, like, I kind of had this cool interaction where I found a taxi cab that when I jumped on it, I bounced off the taxi cab, and then mid-jump, I threw my hat so it, like, and then held the button so the hat, like, stayed in the air. So then as I was, like, continuing the jump, I then bounced off of the hat, which got me onto the building, and then I was like, okay, now I'm on the building, how do I get higher? And I saw one of those flagpoles, so I was like, okay. So I did a little, like, somersault thing, threw my hat mid-somersault to possess the cone, and then used the cone to, like, spring myself super high, and then... As I was bouncing off of that cone, I threw the hat again to get another flagpole, and I was just like, this is so cool. Like, this is so different, you know?
That's
like,
kind of cool, yeah.
It just, it felt really interesting to sort of, like, math out, like, how I'm going to make this happen and really utilize that.
So it's like platforming, but without the platforms.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you make the platforms as you're going.
It reminds me a little bit of, like, a Flynn Hook situation, where it seems like you're, like, using the platforms and the mechanics of the platforms to, like, do the platforming bit, but then you also have, like, the grappling hook, which then can sling you into different directions and, like, you know, essentially, like, swing you across the map with an additional mechanic, you know?
Yes.
Here, that additional mechanic is hat possession.
Yeah, but it seemed like there was still,
I mean, possessing
for
hat.
The most part, one set way to get somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, because I just got Zelda, so I was kind of coming off that, and I was like, this is, like, an old school sort of, like, there's one correct answer to get up this building.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. I'm not a Nintendo fanboy. I mean, I end up playing their games, and I like them, but I'm kind of beyond doubting. No, I'm kind of beyond doubting that Nintendo will make a good Zelda or Mario or any of their kind of.
It's always just a.
You think that they will always make a good.
It's just they're just
games?
Yeah they
it's
just always
yeah,
come up with something.
That's not always true because, Skyward Sword was pretty unpopular. Is
yeah that,
I still liked it though. I don't know why anybody else doesn't like.
I
liked it.
I thought it was just fine.
It got great reviews though.
Game.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then everybody like.
You know what it was though?
Like,
I think
we said it was so great, but
what was that?
I think it would have been so much better if it was on a different console.
Skyward Sword.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You mean like if it wasn't
like
waggly
it didn't
motions?
Shoehorn motion controls in?
So what was the last
exactly.
bad Mario
like,
game?
Like if you removed that aspect from it, then I think it would have been much better than it was. I think.
Of last bad Mario game, I mean I haven't played some of the.
I would say
ones.
Almost all of the Mario games that live in the new category, like new Super Mario Bros. Wii or U or 2 or Wii U, all of those ones suck. Well, it's just different. I don't know. It's just it's just not what I'm trying to play.
I just usually think they have a pretty good idea of what they're doing, so.
I mean,
I would agree with that.
I'm sure it'll be... I'm sure at the very worst it will be fine.
Yeah. All right, so before... I want to move us to our topic of the show soon, but before we do, is there any other games that are worth mentioning?
Well, I mean, I didn't go.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But thanks, guys. Jesus. I'm here, too.
Sorry,
I have feelings. My game of the show... You bastards! Is I really liked Anthem. Just seeing everything,
yes.
And I mean Monster Hunter World.
But doesn't Anthem kind of feel like a Division plus like Destiny type situation?
You know what I think? What I'm hoping for is that Anthem is going to be the Destiny that Destiny should have been.
So it feels like it is
currently the Destiny that Destiny should have been.
Destiny,
yeah,
2,
right
yeah.
now it is. But
yeah.
I mean, it kind of created a genre. It's that. Pseudo MMO,
right?
First person, third person shooter kind of thing.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And I mean, in a way, yes, Anthem is now part of that, or it looks like it's going to be part of that new genre.
Right.
But that's
Divided
fine with
Destiny.
Me. Like, it looks awesome. This kind of half multiplayer, but you're in this vast world, and there's loot, and there's a really good, and it's BioWare, so you're going to get a good story.
Well, I would pause very hard on that comment, because BioWare has let us down very recently with story, and it's like,
Tell me what that disappointment was, real quick.
Andromeda.
Andromeda, okay. Obviously.
Yeah, but for other people in the room, I might not know.
I'm just saying that it's like, it's very hard for me to really believe that they're going to keep this under control when we saw not even a single scrape of storyline in that trailer at all. I'm not saying the trailer didn't look cool, because it looked really fucking cool.
I'm just saying it's BioWare. They have the capability. Andromeda didn't not have a story, yeah. You know, like it, they have it in them to have
I think
like
they lost sight of what they've been best at, and Andromeda is exactly the example of that, because I think Andromeda is like, that is like the focus grouped version of what Mass Effect is, you know what I mean? That's like, well, what do we need more of? Oh, we need more radiant quests and a bigger world and all this sort of bullshit, but it's like, that's not what made Mass Effect good, you know what I mean? So when I see Anthem, I'm like, okay, this is a fucking sweet looking game. I'm sure the multiplayer and the fights and stuff are going to be awesome, but like, I very, very much like a Destiny, where like, it's hard for me to see how a story is going to fit into that. Like, are there going to be, like, you know, conversation wheels and shit in this? Probably not. I don't know. I can't imagine them doing that.
I mean, they didn't really show any story.
Yeah, I mean, they just announced this game.
All they showed was the Division actors jumping in there and playing this game and going, well, I found some loot. Nice, dude.
I actually picture
sweet
it.
Loot, man.
Oh my god, the fucking
watch out for
drops.
All these enemies around the corner.
Jargon's rifle.
I picture
wow,
it.
You got that?
I picture it exactly like. I picture it exactly like Destiny. Honestly, yeah. You have your hub where you get missions and you sell loot and
it
shit.
It looks like Destiny, yeah.
And there's a this might have like a more living organic world. It looks like. And then
like
you get somewhere and it'll be a what's the word? An instanced mission.
It could be like like Guild Wars 1 MMO type, right? Where they do have the hub world where everybody's, like, dancing around each other. And then you jump into, like, a mission. And the mission is always, like, oh, you have a party? That party's going to go into an instance world, right? And then go through this, like, whatever.
And we're going to scale the difficulty based on how many people are in your party.
Right.
And
which is not bad.
See, I mean, we knock it now because...
I'm not knocking it. I'm
Destiny,
actually really excited for
Destiny
it.
Had a rough start, and Division is still a game, I guess. But, like... but
burn!
But... that is such a good concept, and when you dug into Destiny, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And Anthem just looks badass with the exosuits and
when it jumped off of that cliff and started flying,
jetpack.
The entire stadium of Xbox One, conference goers was like,
going underwater and just even the missiles and just being in multiplayer and the loot. It's just, that's everything I want in a game, and they've yet to nail it, because the Division is whatever, and Destiny took a while to find its legs, and it still never really got there. And the story is crazy, but
They're transitioning.
Well, now with Anthem, I'm not sure if I want Destiny 2.
Well, I'm seeing a lot of potential there. Even if BioWare's been off their game lately, BioWare's still, they've got the chops, and they've made some really good games in the past.
Yeah,
I want to be proven wrong on this one. You know what I mean? Yeah. I do.
I'm always an advocate for a better game is better than a bad game. So I'm also hoping that they do a good job.
Well, no, I think it's just my priorities have gotten fucked up, like, the older that I'm getting, because it's like... like, sure, I love a good, like, multiplayer, like, gameplay experience, but I feel like I'm starting to appreciate stories so much more in games. Like, that's what, in my mind, makes, like, a great experience. If I'm, like, walking away from this, like, man, what a good story.
I said that,
you know,
talking
I mean?
About Dragon Ball Z, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who cares about the story? It's a different...
and what's the story
in
Mario?
Red Liz,
right? Same thing, too. Like,
yeah.
I remember...
okay. When I'm playing a game by BioWare, it's like, it's like BioWare, you know what I mean? That's like,
what if it was just made by EA?
It would make so much more sense to me. It would make so much more sense
But I'm happier that it's BioWare over just EA.
Actually,
I guess
so. When you said
I think just everybody
EA
is,
Yeah, but I mean, they make games like, you know, Battlefront and...
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Hogwash.
Liz,
I want my relationship mechanics. I want to, like, I want a wheel, conversation thing. I don't know.
Liz, when you saw Anthem, were you excited for it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think I tweeted, I just came all over the when I
it just came all over my phone.
That's awesome.
Was my initial reaction?
How many boners were in that auditorium?
You know what? It's actually
you
funny.
Can barely see. You're just trying to.
As I know, you're just
well, Alex, at least one.
You know, just a funny story, right? They opened the Xbox conference with the Xbox One X, right? And then they ended it with. Let's see what this baby can do, right? And then boom, they show rocks, and all the way to the side, you just hear one guy go, wow! It was hilarious. Everybody fucking started cracking up.
That guy.
That guy immortalized. 2017 E3 Xbox copy.
Was that you?
No, it wasn't. I wish it was me. I wish it was me. But we were sitting. Get this. We were sitting right behind the guys from
Crystal Dynamics.
Crystal Dynamics, and we were talking to them for a little bit. So we were like afraid to act a little too like excited, right. Even though my first question to them was like, "Sir, is it true that like being here? This is the first time we're here. Is it true that it's like a rock concert but for video games?" And they're like, "Why, yes it is." Yes it is, very much so. And yeah. I was like, oh
yes,
my
it
god,
is 13
this is pretty cool. This is a pretty cool experience.
It was pretty cool.
Confirmed, Crystal Dynamics are fans of TZR. It's great.
Don't write that anyway though.
All right, so are we ready to move on to our topic of the show?
Yeah,
let's do it.
All right, before I move on to the topic of the show, I want to just thank all of our listeners for joining us this evening. Thank you for joining us on this week's episode of the TZR podcast. For anyone that wants to join us live, you can reach us at discord.gg/TZR. And if you have any questions for the podcast that you would like answered, you can email us at podcast@thezeroreview.com. Now, a new feature of the podcast is we're going to be giving away a game during each podcast. This week's game is Tekken 7 with all the DLC and stuff. Should we give it away now?
I mean, if we're going to be moving on to the next thing, I'm down. I mean, this is essentially, we got 15 more minutes left on the podcast.
We know that one guy's waiting for it.
Yeah. We got one guy who jumped onto the Discord time. Like an hour or two earlier.
That's great.
That's a good gift.
An hour or two earlier, and he was just like, Tekken? Tekken 7?
Yes. So
I think this is the motion.
This is for...
Oh, no, we know it was you.
All right. So with that said, we're going to go into it first. The code, and I'm just going to speak this out.
This is a PlayStation 4 code.
No, this is an Xbox One code.
This is an Xbox One code.
I've written in multiple tabs on many different social media, so
this
if you're
is first active,
us.
First play.
Yeah, so Xbox yes. One, if...
So, yeah, wait, so whoever just puts this into their...
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you want to be on a future episode and have a chance to get a future code at subsequent podcasts, join us, 8 p.m., discord.gg/TZR, in the TZR live chat, where we host our podcast live.
Yeah, we are literally... This is like... technically the first ever podcast that we're giving away.
Technically.
Nope, oh, I got
nope,
it.
Nope.
I
keep going. All right.
So just in case you have your Xbox One open or ready, I'm going to go through this. If you want to write it down quickly, that's fine. But here we go. I'm going to repeat it. I'm going to only say it once, so get ready. It is Xbox One code for Tekken 7. GMHVF47GKW. R W X H V F Y K 447 W F F Z. Damn, that was a long
it's really,
ass
it's really
that, was way
that many characters.
You said that
shit.
Really fast too. Yeah.
Did I?
Yeah.
Okay, give
right.
it.
You need a rhythm. It's like you're saying a
one more
phone
time.
Number
in chunks of four. Ready, right, go.
No, chunks of five. All right.
Do you like B's and boys?
G M H V F 47 G K W. R W X H V F Y K 44 7 W F F Z. There you go.
Woo! Congratulations to whoever just got that code.
And if
Redless
did,
is furiously typing that in.
And if you did get that code, please message me on Discord or message us on the podcast at thezeroreview.com, and we will give you also the Eliza Thornberry DLC code. Eliza Thornberry is a tech. No, I'm just joking. It's another much older character that you can play as.
Yes.
Who's also kind of appealing to the eyes in a way.
All right. With that said, let's move on to our topic of the show. So, post E3, there's only really been one piece of news to come out, and it is definitely the biggest piece of news, and that is that IO Interactive is now an independent studio and has retained the rights to the Hitman IP.
Which is huge.
This is super exciting.
Huge.
Super
unbelievable.
Exciting.
I'm so happy for them.
Yeah. So, I mean, the last couple of weeks have been a little bit of turmoil for IO Interactive because we heard that Square was selling them off. They were dealing with a number of layoffs. And basically the future of the company was really kind of unsure. It was very shaky.
Their offices look dope, though.
Yeah.
Lots of beanbags everywhere.
So they got that going.
But so we learned that they basically bought back the majority of their stock from Square and now are an independent studio with the rights to their franchise that they created. So yeah.
But the thing is, nobody thought that was going to happen. There were rumors going around that Square Enix was kind of trying to put feelers out to sell it off. So
yeah,
that's huge.
And they were in prime position for some other company, like the EAs of the world or whatever, to just come in and scoop them up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, how often does that happen where you're like working with Square Enix, right? And then you just buy back your company to become independent. Like, does that ever happen?
Little guy wins.
No.
Little guy wins. That never happens.
Definitely not. It's pretty crazy. And I think it's going to create, you know, some really interesting future titles from IO Interactive. I mean, what are they going to do with the franchise? And we know that a season 2 for Hitman 2016 is coming out, but I'm really curious how they're going to evolve this franchise. Now, Liz, Red Liz, remind me, did they get any other IPs with this acquisition, or was it just Hitman?
You know what? I honestly have no clue. Hitman's all anybody's talking about.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's the extent of it.
Because I think there's some other IO properties floating around, like Kane and Lynch and some other ones.
Oh, wow.
But,
about that.
Yeah, that was...
Yeah, no one is really talking.
Nobody cares.
What else do they have?
Hitman. Yeah, I know.
Kane and Lynch is the only one that I can think of off the top of my head. I know that there's a few more. Yeah. But anywho, I'm super thankful that they were able to break off from...
I mean, I never played the last Hitman, but...
Which was a huge fucking mistake, honestly.
I've heard mixed things, but, like, from you, Skirbo, you're, like, Hitman beyond.
Some would say that it was the best... Some would say that it was the best game released last year.
Some say.
That was
some coming people, to a theater.
Some people would say that. It really is... I mean, I'm not saying I would say that, but I'm saying some people might say that.
Very some that you just made up.
I wouldn't not say well, that.
I would say it is definitely within the top 10, if not top 5 games released of last year. It was really, really exceptional. I think the only reason why it didn't succeed as well as it should have or could have is because stealth games just in general are kind of a hard sell. You know,
it's
dying art, really.
Yeah, like
no, I totally disagree. The reason that it did not sell as well as it should have was because it was episodic.
Yeah, that's what I was
okay. See,
say.
But
now,
see, like
now
some
this,
people, in
this
this
is
room
where
right
we're
going
to disagree. Yeah. This is where we're going to disagree.
No, let's do this.
Yeah.
So I'll agree and disagree. I agree that was probably a contributing factor for it not selling so well because it's such a shakeup. You know what I mean? There's no other game that really took this approach
where it comes out in episodes?
No, but I'm saying it came out in episodes. And while you were playing, there was like week-long events that took place that once you, like if you got to play them for that week, once they were gone, they would never come back. They were called exclusive contracts. Elusive contracts. Yes.
Why does this not sound fun?
Why does it sound like a terrible idea?
Yeah.
Why would you make content that would disappear after a while?
I mean, this is partially why I give Square a lot of credit, because like this is a totally, totally different way of approaching a game's release.
I mean, in a Hitman-like scenario, your target is only available, and I'm getting like really like, I'm not philosophical, but like a little emotional about this. Like, your target is only available for a certain amount of time. Is that what they were going for?
That's exactly what they were going for.
The contract is out for this amount of time.
I mean, that's kind of...
It's like you're a real-life hitman, and you're going to Paris, and there's just this one dude who happens to be in Paris.
I
want to
be a hitman, and I want to go to Paris.
No, you don't.
I thought that content was really cool, and that should have been able to help them. But I think the issue that it ran into with the episodes is it had, what, 7?
Yeah.
It was 7 episodes?
I think it was...
And it's...
For 7 weeks?
No, I think it was only 5, actually. Was it 7? 7 might be right.
Wait, did you have to buy them individually?
So you could either buy the whole thing for a full retail price, or you could buy them, I think they were like $5 to $10 at a time.
Huh.
But
$5 to $10 of a game that you can only... Sorry, Liz. What was that?
Oh, so the issue with that is, like, it came out, what was it, March, I think?
Yes, that's correct.
And then you have... the game being released incrementally over the course of a year, essentially. Yes. Now, it's not just competing with games on launch day in March. It's competing with games throughout that course of time. You're going to have a lot of people who are like, okay, well, I want to buy the game when it's actually finished, when it's complete, when I can play it all at once. By the time that happens, they've already moved on to so much other shit because the hype totally isn't there from release day.
Okay, so that's a really good point, and I definitely agree with you on that. I think what... I guess Square, because they're their publisher at the time, what they should have done is market it better. So,
so
potential players could have understood how the model works. Because, I mean, fundamentally, like, the type of game that Hitman 2016 was, it begets replaying missions multiple times. Like, that's where the fun of that game comes from. You know what I mean?
But they didn't tell you that.
Exactly. So, theoretically, it makes sense to only have access to one level for a few months at a time, because the amount of gameplay that you can actually get out of that one level is ridiculous. It is ridiculous.
But there's also a limited number of people who want to do the replay immediately. You know, they want to continue on it and then come back and replay later all at once. Like, to replay the same exact thing over and over for 3 months, especially if you finish relatively quickly.
Yeah,
you know, it's gonna fizzle out, and I think that's why it did not reach their projections as far as sales went. I think it's because they did not have that hype that they had at launch.
That's totally fair.
It just seems like, you know, even in other medium, like in TV shows, like consumers want to consume everything all at
the
once.
Netflix
like
approach.
That's why, yeah, exactly. Like, that's why Netflix is being so successful. Like, just binge watch this whole thing, like. Even television is trying to phase out episodes.
Yeah.
Like, why? Right. It just seems like completely against what the market is asking for, to release something in this episodic way. Even if you have this great idea, in theory, if nobody wants it, then is it a great idea?
I mean, that's a totally fair point. I feel like probably IO was able to convince Square that, like, the, you know... And I'm not trying to put words in anybody's mouth, but maybe, like, the correct way to enjoy this game was that way. Because if you had all six areas available to you at once, and you only played through each one time, you would be missing out on, not in exaggeration, 90% of the game's content. But
some people don't want to replay level. Like, I don't know if I would want to replay level over again.
I like to do the whole thing
and maybe go back and do
it. So it's the nature of how Hitman's played. Because you go in and you have a target, and your goal is to kill that target, right? Yep. There are so many different ways you can go about doing that. You could just go up and you know, the first level's a boat, right? You could just go up to the guy on the boat and just throw him off the boat. Game over. Done. Or you could go and be a little bit more creative and, like, set up a trap where, like, a lifeboat, like, expands and collapses on top of him. Or you poison his drink and then drown him in a toilet.
So I would say that's cool. Poisoning and drowning, but that's not necessarily a new concept. You could do that in Assassin's Creed in Splinter Cell.
You can't poison Assassin's Creed.
I'm just saying. Especially in the later games of Assassin's Creed, they show you, like, here are five different approaches that you can use to kill this person.
But I want
to
poison that guy's spaghetti.
There's a lot of variety, and players like having that choice. Even in games like Just Cause, you know, they just give you all these wacky options, then it's up to you however you want to do it.
Assassin's Creed, I still just pick one and play that one.
But see, it's almost like...
feel the need to go back and do the other kinds.
It's almost like Hitman is like a very methodical puzzle that you need to, like, carefully evaluate all of the pieces involved and learn how to manipulate situations in such a way that gives you a result. And there's a very extensive, like, achievement, experience, and point system tied to how you kill stuff or how you kill targets, and that unlocks new weapons, it unlocks new options, new tools that you can use to kill future targets with. So it's like you are incentivized to do that, and I think just a regular passerby just going from level to level would completely ignore all of that content. You know what
but
I mean?
But the big thing about games is giving you the option on how you want to play. And, I mean, that's obviously an approach that you appreciate, and I can appreciate that also. But there are a lot of people that's not what they're looking for, and I think that really reflected in the sales. I mean, don't get me wrong, the sales weren't bad. I'm not saying they were bad, but they obviously fell short of everyone's expectations. That's why we are where we are right now, and why we're talking about what we're talking about right now.
And that's why they went out of business.
I mean, I feel like 100% of the reason I did not buy that game was because it was episodic. I'll buy it when the whole thing comes out. But then by the time the whole thing came out, I was playing other things and I had forgotten about it. And I was like, ugh, whatever.
Right. Yeah, personally, I wasn't tied to the Hitman franchise. Like, Final Fantasy VII is going to be episodic, and you better believe I'm going to buy every fucking piece of shit that's
how many episodes.
I don't know. Just seven?
But also, like, when you buy, when a game is new and you all buy it, like, when all of us bought Final Fantasy 15 at the same time, we all played it together. It was an experience that we had together, and that maybe is
like brothers.
Yeah.
The four of us in our bar talking about.
What a loser.
Well, it's like, I think, you know, we're talking.
Like, that sometimes is removed when you come out with episodic things. People don't want to follow it for that long, and you don't get, like, this group of people that are all playing it.
Well, yeah. I mean, now we're sort of transitioning into... It just doesn't happen. We're transitioning into, I think, just a bigger topic in games in general, which is just, like, you know, sort of the oversaturation of the market, which is, like, how could anybody possibly care about a game 2 months after it comes out? Because there's so much stuff that comes out during that time.
We're just ADD millennials.
Well, I think
we just want gratification now.
Exactly. I think the reason why I give Hitman credit is because, like... I guess by today's standards, it would be crazy to do something like that. What, like, you know, people would think, like, you know, how are people going to still care about this or whatever? But I think the most dedicated fans and the people that, you know, did actually play the game saw what was special about it and got excited for the next stages. Let me take a pessimistic
approach to that real quick. Because a big problem in the industry right now is having games come out that are 80% done, and then you have 20% is DLC, and that comes out later.
Or and is what, it 100% done and 20%... additional.
So you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So what this is looking like, so what this is looking like to me is they put out 20% of the game and then 20% of the game and then 20% of the game, and
but you're not paying a full price for it.
Right, but I mean you do eventually,
you're paying $10 for an exceptional experience in one level.
That's like saying I'm going to spend $10 on the first quarter of Horizon Zero Dawn.
If I can play Devil's Advocate right now, that is literally Telltale Games' business model.
And I don't like that. But this is
Hitman. They're one of the most successful developers out right now.
But that's
now.
Not a AAA game. Like, they're organized as a storybook. And the gameplay is very directed. And these are
really
very...
No gameplay in Telltale games.
These are really creative... creative games where you're it's just like a puzzle, like you said. There's a lot of different ways to
but
do
you're
it.
Supposed to but if we're talking about it from a narrative perspective, if we're talking about it from a narrative perspective, you're taking the role of a hitman who could be called on at any time to go murder some fool.
That's a
role
playing thing, not
whatever.
A narrative thing, you know, it, like you're just taking the role of a hitman. But Telltale
is
literally telling you a story. They're named for that. But Hitman is,
but
I don't know.
They're still timed releases.
It doesn't flow as well.
I mean, I don't know if I've made that clear, but I don't like them. I don't like them in Telltale either, and that's also why I don't play Telltale games.
Liz, what's your take on this experience?
Red Liz.
I thought I gave you my take. I thought I was pretty clear about my take.
Okay. I don't know. Is this just me flailing?
I'm sorry, Justin. It's a quality game, but... I don't love
the Hitman franchise, so that's already working against it, and I don't love that model. I played the very first Walking Dead Telltale.
Sorry, I tried to be positive,
and
he's just
hold on.
Going.
No, but I'm just explaining why I kind of feel this way, because I played the very first Telltale and loved it, but then I had to wait for the next episode to come out and totally fell off the bandwagon and never touched it again.
So that's my experience.
Redless, kind of
right? You and I, we went to like a Telltale like talk, and we were talking like, do you ever play Telltale games? And like, Liz, I think my state was pretty clear. It was like, I don't want to play through, you know, choose your own adventure.
Book.
Yeah, right. I don't want to play through a book all the fucking time. Like, I want to play a game, and the only gameplay that they give you is quick time events, choices, and dialogue, and you get to walk down a hall. Essentially.
Yeah. Basically.
Yeah. And Liz, I know
it's not exciting.
Right. It's not exciting versus like.
Don't get me wrong.
Anthem.
I understand there's very clearly a market for it. And I understand that. But that market isn't me.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
like
totally
fair. You guys got
yeah. I think the one it. Thing. I think yeah. the one thing that Hitman did wrong was that essentially, I mean, I don't really like the idea of like. That target's only going to be available for a certain amount of time. I feel like that did something against itself because it was so new and different, you know?
I think it
but
does.
That was, like, additional content. That wasn't, like, a core part of the game experience. That was something, like, it was additional content that they ran in order to try to keep the episodes
to keep people
relevant.
Engaged before next
and it was actually, honestly, I think if they had done that outside of the episodic template, that it would have gone over much better.
Yeah,
you know,
just
it is. It's, I mean, you see times events all the time. You see it, you know, maybe in a different way, but
oh,
like
yeah.
you
double
look at
XP
Overwatch,
weekends
like,
and shit.
Yeah, double XP Overwatch weekends. You look at Overwatch, it's like, I want this skin. Well, guess what? You've got a week. Like,
yeah.
you know what I mean? Like, you see timed exclusives all the time. And
well,
it
Reach
doesn't...
had that good content out. I think it was Reach or Halo 4.
So that's
one
what
of
I mean.
Those
like,
Halos.
Could
yeah.
they, in theory, just have released the whole game and then to keep people interested or to release later content if this was really such an important part, you
right.
could have. you could have still had those timed events just after the full game was out.
And it was still utilizing the different areas and like the you know, different places that you can go to. So it was still encouraging that you look at things from that different perspective, which would in turn encourage replay, I would assume. So
So the real question here is, if IO Interactive ends up going in the same route they did for the current Hitman, the latest Hitman, are they then super done? Or will it?
I don't think there's going to be a super.
I think they still have a lot of fans for Hitman, and they'll figure it out.
Loved it. I did really.
Justin will buy every single copy on every single copy.
If there's a silver lining to this whole thing, now that I, you know, I'm super excited for IO. You know what I mean? Awesome that they've got their franchise
Alex just
back.
Made that
great
line,
that they're
silver
making
a season
two.
A noose.
And for those that did not play Hitman 2016, you can play the whole first section of the game for free right now, which is an unbelievable amount of content for nothing. So if you are even the slightest bit interested to see what this game is like and know why it's so good, I highly recommend you play that. Just like, even just the one time, just to see
just
what it is.
The one time.
Just kill the guy once and just see if you're
poison
like
that spaghetti.
Oh, this is something interesting here, because I promise you you will get the bug.
I'm pushing them all off boats every time, just one and done.
None of them can swim.
I'm next
the
best level.
Swimmer. So, push him off the boat. You really think he's gonna get the bug? He's gonna be then tempted to get the
test. That was easy.
It's pretty cool. You know what it is? Some of the levels actually reminded me back of like GoldenEye, honestly. Yeah. Like, you know when you would go through a level
you
and
drag
like,
bodies
and like the objectives
though,
would
GoldenEye.
Change, and it would be like, oh, now I gotta access this new part of the level to do this objective.
The different difficulties gave you different objectives.
Yeah,
that was really
it was
cool.
Like that. Like approaching a kill from a different way. Like if I wanted to, you know, poison this guy's drink, well, first I gotta be nice to this person, or I gotta dress up as a waiter and like find the key to the waiter's closet and like whatever. Like it just changed the whole like thing of it. But either way, it was really cool. But guys, we are reaching the end of our podcast.
E3 was
as
a great
in,
time.
We're done.
Yes. No, E3 was a great time. Super stoked for Aya that they are that they're on their own now. And I want to thank everybody for joining us. Liz, I want to thank you very much for joining us on this week's episode of the podcast.
Red Liz.
Thank you for having me.
It was an absolute pleasure. I want to thank you to all of our listeners who are joining us live in Discord. If anyone else wants to join us live on future podcasts, it's discord.gg/TZR.
Every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern time.
Correct. I messed the Eastern time last time.
8 o'clock somewhere, everywhere.
Yes. Remember, you can download this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play Music, or any other podcasting services across the web. If you have any questions for the podcast, you can reach us at podcast@thezeroreview.com, and we'll be happy to answer those questions live on the next podcast. This podcast has been sponsored by Audible. Sign up for a free trial at audibletrial.com/TZR to help us out and to listen to some totally sweet audiobooks. And that's about it.
And if you can't get enough TZR, you can go check Jeff out streaming right now.
Yes,
following
Jeff is streaming
right meow.
That was an excellent
right
plug.
Meow.
There you go.
So youtube.com/thezeroreview and go check out Jeff's sexy face and voice playing probably some Overwatch or something.
And in case you don't know this, actually, Jeff was a competitive player in Team Fortress 2, and now that Overwatch has kind of taken over the Team Fortress 2. No, that's not true. Team Fortress 2 is still very much prominent.
He's not just some schmo. He's really good. So.
Yeah, he's stupid good.
He takes it very seriously.
So
either way, thank you, Justin. Thank you, Liz. Thank you, Liz. Thank you, Alex.
Thank you, Justin.
Thank you, Justin.
You're all wonderful people.
We need another Alex now.
We will see you all on the next podcast. And until next time,
good night.
Catch you later.
All right.